2012, Joint Committee on Ways and Means, the Subcommittee on Public Safety. I'm opening a public hearing this afternoon, and gosh, you know what? We've almost completed the month. Almost.
One more week.
One more week to go.
A few things to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of work to do.
A lot to do.
Mr. Borden.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the committee. Before you is House Bill 4026. It came from the Committees on the Judiciary. It is related to the Court of Appeals. Before you is a staff packet of a preliminary staff measure summary, a fiscal impact on the engrossed version and the engrossed version of the bill, as well as a brief summary of a National Center for State Court study on the Court of Appeals, as well as the study itself.
I believe we have the Chief Justice here, and Judge Brewer is here. Judge Warren, are you going to also come? Okay. And Judge Maloney. So why don't we, Bob Maloney, I'm going to make you a judge anyway. if we have three seats.
Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. The record, my name is Paul DeMunez, Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court. With me is Chief Judge Brewer, Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals, and Bob Maloney, well-known lawyer from Portland who runs the litigation department in his firm. My comments will be very brief about the bill. I just wanted to make a couple of just very brief comments. I support this bill. I know these are difficult economic times. I think all of you are aware that we in the judicial branch have been involved extensively in a re-engineering of our branch of government to improve the efficiency of alternatives to the delivery of judicial services. There are, however, some things that you cannot innovate your way out of. And adjudication in the Court of Appeals is exceedingly important to the citizens of this state. Greater than 85% of Oregonians who are involved in litigation and who appeal from the circuit court, the Court of Appeals is their final answer. They deserve a very appropriate attention from those judges, deserve to have the time to have their cases considered, and as the study reveals, we have a long ways to go to make sure that those people are receiving access to justice. So I'm here to support this bill and to thank those who are in support of it. Judge Brewer.
Thank you very much, Chief, and Co-Chair Winters, or Co-Chair Nolan, members of the committee. I'm Dave Brewer, the Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals, and it's my privilege to be here and chat with you today about HB 4026. I want to thank the members and LFO for holding this hearing and preparing the necessary materials to inform the committee on this important bill. The materials that are before you consist of some electronically provided materials, the workload study that the National Center for State Courts did examining the resource needs and workload of the Court of Appeals in 2010, and an executive summary that summarizes the key findings of that study. In addition, we provided you today with paper copies of letters in support of this bill. To avoid confusion, some of the paper copies refer to SB 388, which was the number of the predecessor bill of HB 4026 in the 2011 session. I do have permission from the authors of those letters to resubmit them to you in support of HB 4026. They're from the Attorney General's Office, the Public Defender's Office, Oregon State Bar President Mitzi Knockler, and Mr. Maloney from the Lane Powell Law Firm, who's here with me today. I won't repeat what is in those materials, but would like to briefly share with you at a higher level view what brings us here today. Three things to start with real quickly. First, every judge and staff member of the Court of Appeals is grateful to serve the people of Oregon, and we all consider it to be a tremendous privilege to play a meaningful role in our state's public justice system. We also greatly appreciate the partnership we've had with the legislature, including your passage of the efficiency legislation that we proposed in the 2009 session, including allowing the court to decide cases in two judge panels, the streamlining of de novo review in equity cases, and providing an appellate commissioner to help us expedite our motions. All of those things have provided some meaningful assistance to the court in helping weather the budget storm that we're all experiencing now. And the third thing I want to say preliminarily is we're very, very mindful of the challenges that you face in balancing critical interests as you pave the way to Oregon's fiscal future and economic prosperity. And although LFO, of course, will determine the fiscal impact of this bill, there is no intended, at least from the Oregon Judicial Department's standpoint, fiscal impact in this biennium. To the meat of it, there have been no new judges added to the Court of Appeals in the last 35 years. And when you think about the changes that have occurred in the legal landscape during that period in Oregon, it's really a pretty remarkable fact. In the meantime, our system partners on the criminal justice side, which, by the way, comprises 60% of our caseload, have added significant numbers of attorneys so that, for example, the appellate defenders office now files nearly twice as many briefs every year on appeal on the merits than were filed in 2000. In 2010, for example, the appellate defender filed 733 briefs on the merits versus 464 in the year 2000. And what that means, among other things, is that a much denser caseload on the criminal side puts other cases that are critical to the economy of the state of Oregon, civil and administrative cases, on more of a back burner. The Court of Appeals has an extremely complex array of cases. We're the mandatory appeals court for all civil, administrative, and almost all criminal cases in the state of Oregon, with the exception of death penalty cases, which go directly to the Supreme Court. We need the best and most productive legal minds possible to get this work done correctly, and as the Chief pointed out, finally, in real time, without undue delay throughout a very complicated legal system. Most of our judges, as you can see from the workload study, work many more hours a week than a so-called standard work week, and despite their best efforts, we continue to fall behind on cases that we take under advisement to write opinions on. I don't want to bore you with too many statistics, but I think at a higher level, a few might help illustrate the situation. For cases that we take under advisement, that we don't affirm without opinion, the court doesn't have a unitary clearance rate. What that means is we don't decide as many cases taken under advisement as come in each and every year. That's a pretty remarkable situation to have, because it means unless we affirm a case without opinion, each case we take under advisement causes us to fall just a little bit farther behind. I'll give you a couple of statistics that point that out. First of all, it takes about between civil and criminal 6 to 8 months after the briefing is completed in the Court of Appeals for parties to get an oral argument date. At the end of 2009, the court had a total of 285 cases under advisement that hadn't been decided. At the end of 2010, there were 330 cases under advisement that had not been decided. And just 2 months ago, at the end of 2011, it had gone up to 366. Now, some of that can be attributed to the fact that our staff have furloughs. We've lost positions just like everybody else has. But those numbers are consistent, and they show slippage. And what they mean is, particularly after those in-custody cases are decided on the criminal side, that it's taking longer and longer for key civil cases and key administrative law cases to get decided. And that's, frankly, members of the committee, what keeps me awake at night, despite all of the hours that all of our judges are working. If you take a look at the workload study that the National Center prepared, you'll see that it confirms the validity of those statistics. What the National Center found is that in order for the court just to tread water without necessarily catching up, we would need at least one more panel of three judges in order to do that work at a reasonable level and a reasonable workload for the kinds of judges we're trying to attract and retain on the court. And while all of that is happening, of course, there's additional pressure all the way around for us to take on new work that's very important to the economy and the people of the state and decide it very, very quickly. We saw two examples of that in the land use arena in the 2011 session, HB 2130 and SB 766, both of which passed, would involve important new land use cases that would go through the Court of Appeals, including urban reserve and industrial siting cases. And there was a considerable dialogue between the members and the Oregon Judicial Department in the last session about whether that work could be expedited in light of the resources that we had and without getting more resources. And thanks to the wisdom of this body, it was decided that the Court of Appeals needed to do this work, but they were not expedited in light of our resource situation. That policy choice is yours. That is critical work. And we are the right place, in my view, for that work to be done as quickly as possible. And wouldn't it be nice if we had the resources to get those cases expedited so that both business and environmental interests, all the stakeholders, could know where land stands in real time? We all care deeply about those issues. The business case for adequately funding the court is extraordinary. We all recognize the importance, particularly in this economy, of having financial institutions and the parties they deal with them be able to resolve their issues regarding contracts and debts in real time to get things straightened out on the real estate side. We have important property rights and land use rights to adjudicate. All of those cases go through the Court of Appeals. What's happened over the last several years is we've seen an increasing national recognition of the need to refocus on the economic value that courts create when they decide cases fairly in real time according to the rule of law, and not treat them so much as a cost, but as a generator of prosperity for the economy if they're adequately funded. It's really interesting. The chief has been, he's too modest to tell you this, but he has been on the national stage making this very point for several years now to great effect. Most recently at the Conference of Chief Justices, the Vice President of the United States said this, and this was just in the last month or so, "The rule of law is vital to business success, a realization that is taking hold in U.S. companies that have sent jobs overseas. The new buzzword is insourcing," Vice President Biden said, explaining that while companies currently can manufacture products more cheaply in other countries, they are recognizing how costly that can be when a foreign country does not have fair and impartial courts. In my view, those nations still in transition will come to learn that until they have a rule of law where in real time businesses can be sure that they can enforce their contracts, that their intellectual property will be protected, until citizens are free to speak their minds, that nation will never fully realize its potential. And so I guess to sum up my comments before I turn it over to Mr. Maloney, we understand deeply at a very intense level how difficult the choices you have to make are. I'm a firm believer, as the chief indicated in his eloquent remarks, that he is, that adequately funding the rule of law is a key to moving a free society forward. The sad fact is that our public justice system has not been funded in balance over the last generation. And so we're in a situation now where, as difficult as it is in some ways for us to sit before you, truly, as Senator Przanski told me recently, I would be negligent not to do that. So with that, I would ask that you give your attention for a few minutes to Bob Maloney, who's here from Alain Powell Law Firm.
Thank you, co-chairs and members of this committee. My name is Bob Maloney, and I'm a senior partner with the Alain Powell Firm in Portland. And I'm here and happy to support this bill, which would add judges to the Oregon Court of Appeals. So you have some perspective of what I'm going to mention to you. I think you ought to know a little bit about me. Over the last 40 years of my practice, I've practiced in virtually all of the state courts here and the federal courts in Oregon. I have served as president of the Oregon Association of Defense Counsel, the Defense Bar. I've also served as president of the Oregon Federal Bar. And I've had the pleasure of representing both large and small businesses in Oregon, from businesses like Volunteers of America, which works to help the community, to larger corporations like Portland General, Northwest Natural Gas, Wells Fargo Bank, Roseburg Forest Products, and a legion of others. So I'm familiar with the importance of a solid, working, and timely, responsible judicial system to the economy of our state and to how businesses are able to operate and the importance it is to them. I'm happy to support this bill. I want to mention again what Judge Brewer said. If you think about it, over the last 35 years, we haven't added a single judge to the Oregon Court of Appeals. But in that time, we're all familiar from what we've read in the papers and so forth about the tremendous increase in not only the number of criminal, civil, domestic relations, and land use cases, but the complexity of those cases that take a lot of time for the judges in this state and for our final judges that are hearing these appeals, for them to decide these cases. The result of all of that, of not adding judges to the Court of Appeals, is we've got an overworked court. I think from what I've read, we have the busiest busiest Court of Appeals in the entire United States. And then when you stop to think about the impact on our system, I'm sure you're familiar with this, but the criminal cases and the land use cases, once they're ready for argument, they have priority over the civil cases. So the civil cases that are involving, whether they're small businesses or large businesses, get pushed to the back and have to wait their turn. And that's important, especially to businesses that need to have disputes resolved, for them to make decisions on whether they're going to expand their business, whether they're going to take on more employees. And it affects businesses from out of state, where they have to make decisions about where they're going to locate that has the best climate, to when they have to resort to the courts, resolve those business disputes in a timely manner for them. Just from our own practical experience, I asked the head of our appellate department for our firm, who was in our offices this morning, about his experience on decisions of cases coming out of the Court of Appeals. And once the case is argued at the Court of Appeals, the last four cases we had on average took 11 and a half months between time of argument to the court and the decision. That's almost a year to get those decisions. That's because we don't have enough judges, because they're overworked. But we need to figure out some way to address that, and one way is through this bill that we're talking about. I also have some experience on the business side, because for over 25 years, I was one of the owners of Norm Thompson Outfitters, which is a mail order company based in Beaverton that some of you probably are aware of. And we employed up to 1,000 people at our peak season, and I'm familiar from that with the importance of being able to get timely and quick results from the court system. And finally, I would mention to you, if you had a situation where somebody came to you and said, you know, we need money to take care of a gridlock situation with one of our major state highways that's otherwise affecting the economy and our constituents, you would figure out a way that we had to address that problem. Well, we're looking at a gridlock situation with a branch of our government, a branch that's no less important than a legislative branch, but a gridlock situation that we're looking at without some help. And finally, my last point is, remember the old adage that justice delayed is justice denied. So thank you for allowing me to speak to you, and I ask for your support. Thanks.
Questions? Senator Rudger. Yes, you talked about a land use case preempting perhaps a civil case. Who determines the priority of that case? Is it in law, or is it?
I'll defer to the judge.
Co-Chair Winters and Senator Berger, excellent question. This body has made that determination. We are required by statute to decide land use appeals from the Land Use Board of Appeals within 91 days of submission. And the workload study, if I might just add, Senator Berger, makes a very interesting point about that. While that workload is only about 2% by volume of our cases, because of the density of the work and because of the time constraints, it consumes consumes 7 to 9% of the court's resources. Quite an interesting comment that the National Center found in relationship to expediting cases. So that's done by statute.
Senator Verger, if I might just supplement Judge Brewer's comments. Judge Brewer may have this, but we did a study once of all the statutes that required priority of our cases, and it was a staggering number. And that's all, of course, legislative choice. Mm-hmm. And we try to balance all of those.
I might just add, Senator Verger, it's the kind of the classic Isaac Newton equation. In a closed system, if you've got to give priority to something, other things fall to the back, and that's sort of how it's been working.
Yeah. Yep. Additional questions? Thank you very much for your testimony, and twice in one day.
The record for me.
Thank you very much.
I will close the public hearing on House Bill 4026 and open a work session on Judicial Department, other funds for Supreme Court. Mr. Borden.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the committee. The Judicial Department is here with a request to increase its operations other funds expenditure limitation by $360,000 for emergency repairs to the Supreme Court building.
You may begin.
Thank you. For the record, my name is David Moon. I'm the Director of the Business and Fiscal Services Division at the Oregon Judicial Department. I have with me this afternoon John Fagan, who's the Budget Director for the Oregon Judicial Department. We are seeking an increase of $360,000 in other funds limitation for the purpose of emergency repairs to the Supreme Court building. That building, as you know, was opened in 1914 as the oldest building on the Capitol Mall. And while we've over the years we've had performance maintenance projects that we've performed over the years to keep the building in good working order. However, we haven't had a overall renovation of that nearly century-old building up to this point. During the last budget cycle, the Oregon Judicial Department presented a policy option package for $3 million that would have alleviated some of the pressure on these maintenance items, but we were unsuccessful in getting that funded. This particular request revolves around the assessment and emergency stabilization of the exterior of the building. There's a terracotta on the exterior of the building that has had some cracking that has become pretty severe in the last year, and we had an external contractor come in and perform an assessment of the terracotta, and as a result, we noted that there was some significant and immediate needs, and so we had them perform some mitigation, including installing some netting and some strapping on the exterior of the building to help mitigate the chance that the pieces of the building would actually break off and fall down, possibly injuring people or property. We're asking this increase to pay for that assessment that was performed for the emergency mitigation, the netting and the strapping that was put up there, as well as some of the things that the assessment noted, though didn't provide a monetary estimate amount for, including some water infiltration and some damage and dry rot that's occurring to the exterior of the building in the window. There's some wooden exterior pieces on the windows. That assessment did note that for repair and rehabilitation of these elements, the exterior terracotta as well as the window pieces would cost about $2.7 million, and the a replacement project for those same elements would probably be about $5.7 million, or $5.2 million rather. This request we have now would just be to continue our mitigation strategies that we have in place that would decrease further damage to the building during the current biennium, and then in future bienniums, including 13-15, the department would present a policy option package to address further maintenance needs. And I would take any questions that you might have.
Question. I have one question. Are we using in-state labor?
Madam Co-Chair, we are.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No, Madam Co-Chair, I'm prepared to offer you a motion.
I'm ready.
Would you like to hear their
yes,
I suppose we ought to hear from LFO.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, OJD reports that it's spent $19,000 for the DAS services on this project and about $46,743 for the exterior assessment by a private firm. Its initial stabilization work is around $31,717. So the combined total so far is about $97,460 of commitments. The remainder of the request is unspecified stabilization work. The revenue to support this expenditure is from the department's operating account, which they report would be essentially marriage license fees. But the account's balance is only $267,320 as of last month. LFO recommends approval of the portion of Judicial Department's request and that its other funds expenditure limitation be increased by $97,460 in the 2012 budget reconciliation bill with instructions that the other funds expenditure limitation be one time and not carried forward to the 2013-15 biennium. LFO further notes that the judicial's remaining request should be deferred pending more specific information on its stabilization work plan and verification of actual cash receipts in its operating account. There will be opportunities in the future, the emergency board, to provide further expenditure limitation if needed.
Just a point of clarification that the limitation is increased by not, I have 56,151. You said 97.
Oh, co-chair, that is a old analysis. The new analysis, the new LFO recommendation is an increase of expenditure limitation of $97,460.
Representative Nolan.
Madam Co-Chair, I move that we accept the LFO recommendation to approve a portion of the department's request that the department's operations and other fund expenditure limitation be increased by $97,460 in the 2012 budget reconciliation bill, with further instruction that the other funds expenditure limitation be a one-time increase and not carry forward into the 2013-15 biennium.
Co-Chair Nolan recommend that we accept Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation by approving a portion of the judicial branch request and the department's operation of the fund expenditure limitation be increased by $97,460 in the 2012 budget reconciliation bill, with instructions that the other funds expenditure limitation be a one-time increase and not carry forward into the 2013 biennium. And do you want to finish the rest of it? The remaining should be deferred. Remaining requests should be deferred pending more specific detail on its stabilization work plan and verification of actual cash receipts in its operating account.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Yeah. Discussion.
Yes. Mr. Boardman, this is about less than one-third of what they've asked for. So is LFO recommending that they come to the emergency board with the other two-thirds, because you're recommending also that it not move forward to the 13-15 biennium?
Yep. Co-chair and members of the committee and Senator Vercher, yep, LFO was just recommending deferral of the remaining $262,000 for them to come back to the emergency board. We recognize that this is there are emergency needs on the building, but we'd like them to produce more of a specific plan of what they're going to do to the building, and then more specifically look at the cash balances that are available and make sure that those materialize. So the reference to next biennium is that according to the standard budget instructions, any limitation increase now would automatically roll up next biennium. And this is a one-time expenditure limitation for this biennium, and that as noted by the agency, they'll be back next biennium with a probably a more significant request to continue improvements to the Supreme Court building.
Follow up. Okay, so just so that I understand what they are going to be asking for when you're talking about a more complete plan of what they're going to do to the building, specifically, what do you mean?
Co-chairs and Senator Verger, when the LFO normally asks agencies what is the detailed breakdown of any request, and they were able to provide specific itemizations of a portion of their request, but the other portion, the majority of their request, the $267,540, was they did not have detail on what exactly they were going to do with that amount. They reported to LFO that this was essentially the request was driven by what they estimate amount of revenue is, and so LFO was just recommending to the subcommittee that they come back with a detailed plan of what the legislature would be approving for that portion of the request. What exactly would they be doing to the building for that much money?
Okay, Madam Chair, one more follow-up.
You
understand what LFO is asking you for, and it's clear to you what you're to do between now and the e-board?
Madam Co-Chair, Senator Verger, I do believe it is clear.
Okay. Madam Co-Chair, could I request a brief recess?
You can. I'm going to just... Reconvening, and we're in the work session on Judicial Department, other funds for the Supreme Court. There was a motion to accept the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendations made by Representative Co-Chair Nolan. Is there discussion? Are there objections? Hearing none. Opposed. Judicial Department, other funds for grants. We're still in work session.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the committee. The Judicial Department is requesting an increase in its other funds expenditure limitation of $1.7 million and an increase in its full-time equivalent positions by 9.17 FTE for grants from various state agencies, counties, and nonprofit entities.
Thank you. My name, for the record, is David Moon, and with me is John Fagan, the Oregon Judicial Department's budget manager. And we're here this afternoon to request an increase in our other funds limitation of $1.7 million and 9.17 limited duration FTE. This would be for the grants that the department has received in cooperation with state agencies, counties, and other nonprofit entities. In the November interim Ways and Means Committee, we appeared and requested an increase of $2.2 million and 9.17, and $2.2 million in increased limitation. A portion of that, just over $830,000 with 4.29 FTE, was approved at that time. The remainder was deferred to this February session. Presently, we're asking for the balance of that request with an additional four grants for a total of 25 grants in this request. These grants represent a mixture of specialty treatment court grants, pretrial release programs, and other program grants. The circuit courts, who are the majority recipient of these grants from the OJD perspective, have experienced permanent staff reductions that have threatened the ability of the department to continue many of these grants. And so the courts have worked with their local community partners to identify sources of possible grants, apply for those grants, and have been awarded many of them. And the OJD portion is really a small piece of what the total community grants, what that total funding resulted in. And we continue to look for opportunities to seek grants to enhance the current programs or to continue programs that are possibly slated for elimination in budget reduction scenarios. And so we may be coming back again in future e-courts or interim committees to request additional funding. But this is our funding request at this time, and I can take any questions.
Questions? Co-chair Nolan.
See if I can get this one right this time, Madam Co-Chair. I move that we accept LFO's recommendation and that the Judicial Department's operations other fund expenditure limitation be increased by $1,685,987 and that the department's FTE be increased by 9.17 in the 2012 budget reconciliation bill, with instruction that the other funds expenditure limitation and the FTE increases be one-time increases and not carry forward into the 2013-15 biennium.
Co-Chair Nolan moves the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation to approve the Justice Judicial Department's request and that the department's operation of the funds expenditure limitation be increased by $1,685,987 and 9.17 FTE in the 2012 budget reconciliation bill, with instructions that the other funds expenditure limitation and the FTE increases be a one-time increase and not carried forward into the 2013 biennium. Is there any objections?
None. Approved.
Thank you very much. For the good of the order? No. Any other business?
Nope.
We are adjourned. We are adjourned.